Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance. X Insurance. From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Here we go. It is a Tuesday here, the day before garbage day at the ranch. Patriot Mobile microphone fired up for you. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here in the Sig Sauer Studios. X Insurance presents it all. Greg in Dallas, Texas, how are you, my buddy?
Not too bad.
I guess you can, you know the routine. Tell people where to watch the show as long as they're not driving, please. And if you're driving around the Atlanta metro area and anywhere around Georgia, it's always raining, so be careful out there. Greg, and tell them how to get in the chat, please.
Sure, if you'd like to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you'll see the menu icon. Just give it a click, and when that window opens up, select that Watch Live option. If you're out there on the road driving, hit that Listen Live link. If you need to catch up on anything you may have missed, well, we've got the podcast link right over there as well. And if you want to join our live chat, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
That'll do it. That'll get you in. Lee the Gunwriter Williams joins us today. Lee, my brother, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you? It's good to be here.
It is. Do we have anything to talk about? A little facetious, but, you know, let's get started.
I can think of a couple things.
Could you think of about a 21-minute video clip that you watched, maybe?
You know, if you and my takeaway was, if you and I tried to write that like a comedy bit, it wouldn't have been half as funny. It was hilarious.
I don't think we could have acted it.
No, it was... It was the most god-awful thing I've seen in a long time by a public official. And it just shows you how nervous he is, knowing that he's only terrified. Got a few months left. Yeah.
He was terrified. You know, the reason we couldn't have acted something like that is because we actually know what we're talking about. And it would have been hard to pretend you didn't, right? Yeah. These guys had no clue. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Face the Nation. I played the entire 21-minute video clip, the audio portion of it. Of course, it's the radio. Yesterday for you in the second hour of the program. And we talked about it briefly in the first hour of the program with Andy Hoosier, the voice of reason from KQAM Radio, Wichita's big talker. We love those guys. And, Lee, we'll start off with a little bit of it here during the hour just to get a taste. But to get your commentary on this, you and I spoke earlier today and we laughed out loud about this, but it, more than funny, isn't it frightening? Isn't it scary? Seriously, let's get a little serious with this. It's fun to have fun with this because it's so easy to do, but good heavens, man.
Yeah, you know, ATF is the most corrupt and the most political of all the federal law enforcement agencies, more so than FBI, and I can document that. They exist to go out and do Biden's bidding by trying to get as many gun dealers out of business as possible. So, of course, it's a serious matter. Then you see Dettelbach, who was, by the way, don't forget, Biden's number two choice to lead the agency. His number one choice was the little rodent of a man, David Chipman. And you see, actually, this is the first time I've seen Dettelbach interacting on like a semi-human basis, rather than in his Senate confirmation hearings. And the man is an idiot. Okay, now, I get the fact he doesn't know guns. He called it AK, 75-round AK drum, a 75-round clip. and then throughout this whole dog and pony show, they've got an M249 sitting on the table there, which is a belt-fed 5.56 machine gun, and it's got a peristock on it, you know, the folding metal stock, so it looks really bad. But they never address it. It's a machine gun.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Am I able to go down to my local gun shop and buy that gun today after work?
Hell no. You can't even get one, you know, if you live in one of the states that allows you to own a fully automatic machine guns, because it was made after 86, this particular model. So, yeah, you can buy it if you're a law enforcement agency or the military or something. But, yeah, and they just got it sitting there on its bipod, you know, just to look bad.
And they never did address it, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Again, we're talking about the CBS Face the Nation. It was a joke if it were not so scary because of what it was designed to do. And as you and I talked about privately off air, sadly, I believe it may have been successful, Lee. Millions of Americans, as much as I hate to admit this, still get their news from those bogus fake news outlets. And I think that was the epitome of fake news, right? Yeah, you're going to hear me say right a lot, ladies and gentlemen, today, like a high school kid. Because Dettelbach, we had fun with it yesterday, had a little, like, pretend it was a drinking game thing. If you had to take a drink every time he said the word right, you were hammered 1 minute into the video, right?
Oh, without a right? doubt, without a doubt. But what got me, and you know, getting back to your serious side, you know, he looks at pistol braces, and he said it. It's an attempt to get around the NFA. Hey, look, pal, your agency approved pistol braces. There's letters that went out from ATF to the guys that designed them saying, yep, this is not an SBR. This is not a short-barreled rifle. And ATF allowed millions of them to be sold. And now he's saying it's an attempt to get around NFA, a pistol brace? I mean, what the hell's going on?
Well, you're being lied to.
What's
going on, ladies and gentlemen, is you are being flat out lied to. There's nothing that comes from these people that you can believe. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. You have to do your own fact checking on this. And you cannot rely on outlets like Facebook or the news organization's news. I say that with quotes around the word to do that fact checking for you. You have to go out and find the information for yourself. And the information, thankfully, is readily available if you want to go out and look at it. CBS apparently didn't think it was necessary to do because, well, they had two self-proclaimed experts there. And let me say this, in defense of Dettelbach, it's the only thing you'll get me to defend on him, was he said that he had an expert with him. So he didn't portray himself as an expert, right? He tried to act like one, right? And his expert did what, Lee, or didn't do what? I mean, take it away.
His expert could not get the slide removed from a Glock. He could not take the slide off a Glock clone. I mean, my God, it is the most common handgun out there right now. And his so-called expert, the ATF agent with his little ATF badge on his suit coat with a little black line across, couldn't remove the slide from a Glock. And he tried several times on camera, and then finally hands it to somebody off camera, like, here, you get it. I mean, it's not like they handed him an 8mm Nambu or a Finnish Lahti or a Luger. You know, it's a Glock. And he couldn't.
Or even a 1911. Let's just go, even a run of the mill 1911.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I forget the name of the news actor, the talking head that hosted it. But at some point, they're showing her an AK, and she goes, you wouldn't use this for hunting, would you? Or words to that effect. I keep missing that hunting bit in the Second Amendment.
Yeah, well, I have it tattooed on my arm, and it's not in there. Let me just double-check it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed as long as you're hunting. Oh, I'm sorry. That I made that part up. It wasn't there. The word doesn't exist.
And by the way, she should know, AKs are great on hogs in Florida. Okay, trust me on that.
Yeah, so are ARs.
Yeah.
There's lots of guns that are great on hogs, in not just Florida, but Georgia and everywhere else. So one of the things I want to do, we're going to get ready to take a break here. One of the things I want to do is I want to discuss a little bit about the importance of why we're ridiculing this and likely will, not just today, ladies and gentlemen. It won't be the sole focus of the shows going forward. I do want to get my guest's opinion on it because of how ridiculous it was, and I want you to hear different perspectives from different people, just the commentary, because it's going to be fun to do anyway. But the importance of why we have to, Lee, why we have to talk about this, why we are going to ridicule these people, because these people are in positions of authority that are now, one of these cases, the bump stock case, Michael Cargill's case, is now in front of the Supreme Court. Now, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to focus on that bump stock because they focused on the bump stock. We'll talk about it in realistic terms, not what you heard from those clown posse leaders yesterday. But because it's in front of the Supreme Court, why it's in front of the Supreme Court, and what the long-term implications are for the outcome of that particular case, for example. That was just one thing they touched on, but it's something that we want to focus on, and we will ridicule them and have fun in the process because they gave it to us. They handed it to us. These people made fools of themselves, except if you were one of the millions of people who might likely have been persuaded wrongfully by what you saw. We're going to correct it. We'll be back with Lee the Gunwriter Williams. Don't go away.
Following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, that's a true statement. AAR, check out the website, patriotmobile.com/AAR. It's a slick website. They update it every day where they keep news things going on there. And it is dedicated to Armed American Radio listeners, to you, to me. And you get free activation with the AAR promo code. We've got the IMIEs or whatever they are, Greg, going over there now, and we're making the swap now. And would ask that you do the same thing. Why would you support companies that don't support your lifestyle when you don't have to? Same towers, better service. Yeah. PatriotMobile.com. We love them. Support these companies that support the right to bear arms through this show. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, Sig Sauer Studios, Patriot Mobile Mike, of course, X Insurance presenting it all. Let's go back to the great Lee, the Gunwriter Williams. Lee, so let's talk about really the importance of why we're ridiculing these people. There's a bigger story here. It's fun to do because they make it so easy, right? Right. Greg, I'm sorry. It's just going to happen now. I'm going to be like that high school kid. Right is going to be coming out throughout the day. But the fact of the matter is, Lee, that it's incredibly important that this stuff be addressed. And maybe, what do they say? If it saves just one life, it will have all been worth it. Maybe if we can persuade one person that what they saw was a psyop, garbage, fake news lie, then it will have all been worth it. But let's talk about the importance of why we have to address this.
Well, you got to look at who these people are. Dettelbach et al. At ATF are making rules now on their own. They're being judge, jury, and executioner, governing the very products that were on the table, that if you violate them, you're headed to federal prison for 10 years. And he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and neither does his quote-unquote expert. That'd be the guy who can't get the slide off the Glock. I mean, Dettelbach made some major admissions during that 21 minutes. Like, he's talking about, he's got SBR right next to a pistol brace. And he said, our rules are that these two weapons should be treated the same. No, they're not. They're not. That's not their rules. Their rules are on the books already. And they just want to change and put the goalposts farther, you know, just because, to make it more difficult. We're playing by their rules, unfortunately. And their rules say that, no, a pistol brace is not an SBR. And they want to change that. Dettelbach said right there, our rules say that these two weapons should be treated the same. That's not true, man. And then did you see his head go off after his head almost exploded when his expert said PMF is a privately manufactured firearm? No, that's a ghost gun. Okay, you got to right. Call it a ghost gun.
Yeah, you have to do it the right way.
Yeah,
you're off script, bro. Expert, you're off script. Don't go off script. Let me bring you back in your lane. Let's take the pistol brace for just a second. I have pistol braces, and I have bump stock too. By the way, there you go, ATF. There you go. Is the pistol brace designed to be shoulder fired? Is that what its design and function was for, or was it designed to actually brace the arm with the pistol?
It was designed so wounded and some semi-paralyzed veterans could enjoy shooting the AR. If they have only one arm, it attaches to the forearm, and then they could go out to the range and shoot their AR. It was made for disabled veterans. That was
it. Stabilizes the pistol in the hand and in the arm. That's what it does. What Dettelbach described yesterday was a flat-out, bald-faced lie. Look, I can shoulder a pistol, an AR pistol, with a buffer tube without a brace if I want to.
Yep.
Now, see, that begs the following question. That's a, well, you use this as an example. Change the rule on the pistol brace because, well, we all know what it is. It's just a workaround, even though we said it was okay and it wasn't a workaround for a couple decades, but, you know, or a decade at least, whatever. That, you know, we're just changing the rules. Well, hold on a second. Without the pistol brace, I can still hold that, I can still shoulder that gun, can't I? I mean, I can.
Yeah, I've seen it done. It's not going to be the most comfortable in the world, but yeah, it's very possible.
But it can be done. So that begs the question. Well, maybe it's not the brace. Maybe it's the pistol itself. We need to redefine the pistol. The pistol should be an NFA item. You see, this is why this is so important, ladies and gentlemen. If you give them 1 inch, they take a mile. Do you think if you say, okay, well, we'll just accept the pistol brace rule change and the redefinition. You think they're done? You think they're going to stop? No, now they can go any direction they want to go. That's why this bump stock case is so flipping vital. Because if they get away with redefining the bump stock, where does it stop, Lee? If that's the case, can't they use the same thing to redefine anything they want going forward and now be a little bit more confident that it will survive any legal challenge because the bump stock did?
Absolutely. Their goal is total civilian disarmament, but they would be very happy if they could get semi-autos off the streets as well. I mean, the whole thing just bugged the hell out of me. The other part is they showed several auto sears, one that could allegedly slide in an AR, making it fully automatic, and then the dreaded Glock switch, which turns it into a machine gun, attaches to the rear of the slide. They mentioned how they could be easily, they're so easy to print 3D with a 3D printer, with a $200 3D printer. They never once mentioned how illegal those things are. Possession of an auto sear is like possession of a machine gun. They have to be registered. So they're not, once again, you're looking at 10 years. They put these things out there like they're super bad, but they never mentioned they're already incredibly regulated. And they're 10 years in jail and a massive fine if you're caught with one. They act like you can go out and find them laying around on the street.
Yeah, I'm going to read something here because after you and I spoke today, the great Mossad Ayoub, I love Mossad Ayoub, just love me some Mossad Ayoub. He's a good friend, and this is exactly the way he talks, too, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know it was me, you wouldn't, of course, think it was Mossad Ayoub. Let me read you something from Mass. The so-called Glock switch. Now, he has a mail out that went out today. I'd encourage you to get on Mossad's Backwoods Home site and read what he puts out every week. What's the story on the Glock switch? This was put out today. The so-called Glock switch is an attachment which fits on the rear of the slide of a Glock semi-automatic pistol and makes it capable of fully automatic fire. It essentially turns it into an approximation of a Glock 18, a selective fire machine pistol developed at the request of military and counter-terrorist entities. This has become the prestige gun among gangbangers, often accompanied by a Stendo and a beam, street argo for a long extended magazine and a laser sight. Readily available on the internet, they seem to be mostly made in China and are often found with a counterfeit Glock logo. Part of the trouble is their extremely high rate of fire makes them uncontrollable in all but the most expert hands. This creates a huge potential for dead and wounded innocent bystanders. Full auto shooting is fun if you know what you're doing, can do it safely, and can do it legally. I worry that new gun owners might presume their ready availability means that they are legal. they are sure as hell not, and the law-abiding citizen is wise to stay the hell away from them. Warn your friends, especially new gun owners, who might not know any better. Some history on their development can be found here, and he's got a link to that. When we come back, I want to read you some of the comments briefly and get some commentary from Lee the Gunwriter Williams, because what he just told you is absolutely 1,000 gobzillion percent accurate. Dettelbach just failed to mention all that because, well, why would he when his objective was to frighten everybody? We'll be right back. The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Greg, my friend in Dallas, Texas, asked me, Mark, how many Defender Coffees did you have today to start your day?
Mark, how many cups of Defender Coffee did you have for breakfast?
Just one.
Okay.
I had one today, and it was really good. It's the Liberty Roast. I know Lee Williams, the gunwriter, drinks the Liberty Roast as well. It's great stuff. It's organic. It's good. It's real. And you support gun rights every time you take a sip of coffee. DefenderCoffee.com. Pick some up. It's a no-brainer. You know, buy from these companies. If you're going to drink coffee, why not drink coffee that supports your gun rights? My gosh, it's a no-brainer. A win-win all the way around. And you can find all of our partners at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Lee, the gunwriter, Williams, welcome back. I'm going to forego the comments. There's only a couple comments in there. I think Mossad said it best when he said law-abiding citizens should stay away from them. But I do find the advent of the switch, whether we're talking about the Glock switch, if you want to call it that, is interesting because it was invented in 1987 by a 22-year-old Venezuelan named Jorge Leon, who invented the small metal insert that could turn the Glock 17 into a fully automatic machine gun with the flick of a switch. And Mossad links to this, and it's got some great history of it in here. And you kind of got to feel bad. I kind of feel bad for the guy. His intention was to give military and police units an advantage in counterterrorism. I'm quoting now. But he didn't foresee the internet, 3D printers, and bad actors copying his design and illicitly distributing the machinery around the world. He said, I feel very bad. I'm sad about that. I would like to do something to fix the problem. He said patenting the invention was his biggest mistake, Lee. Quote, by just seeing the drawings, they can reverse the technology and make it. It's part of the problem right now. I would rather to invent any other thing, something less complicated for the future, he said. And he goes on to talk a little bit about it. And Minneapolis police are talking about they see it from gangbangers, as Mossad mentioned, that it's kind of a badge that they're sought after for bragging rights in the streets. And Mossad points out, as you did, that, you know, you're looking at a huge sentence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's clear here from what I'm reading, and Lee, that the reporter, along with a cop, went out there and in 15 minutes were able to find illegal switches marketed on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok, Pinterest, and other places. Lee, here's a public service announcement, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't even go out and search that thing on my computer if I were you.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. And the inventor, but trust me, military and police units do not want the Glock 18. I have fired the original Glock 18. It looks just like a Glock 17, except right. It has a little switch on the left side. I can't control it. I mean, it may be, and I shoot a lot of pistol, a lot of 9mm. I shoot a lot of pistol. Yeah, it's just too much. It was the solution for a problem that was never identified. I mean, maybe if you have an entire dinner party you want to wipe out, you'd want a Glock 18. But like Dettelbach said, there's too much, and he was struggling for the word recoil. But he doesn't know what that means.
He called it flip up.
Kick up, I think.
Kick up. That's it. Kick up, right? Right, Greg? Right? Right? Kick, right, Greg? Right?
I mean, right?
Right. Kick up.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Kick up. Right. Yeah, that's what it was. He called it kick up. He made the motions. Kick up. The director of the ATF doesn't even know what recoil is. Good. Right? Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Okay. They are inherently inaccurate. They're difficult to shoot. I've fired one as well. And actually, it was not fun. I love firing full auto. But that the pistol? No, not fun.
No,
to me, it was a difficult firearm to control. It was years ago when I fired it. But I had to try it, right?
Right. You know, I did like the fact that we learned another category of illegal firearms during Dettelbach. He called them cartel-desired firearms. Ooh, that's really scary.
So let's talk about the 1911. Ladies and gentlemen, they had a gold-plated 1911 on the table that had custom grips on it with some diamonds in it. And Lee, you and I talked about that earlier because they made it sound like the grips should have been illegal. And Dettelbach had to make sure to remind us that, well, the grips aren't under federal control. So do the grips change the ballistics or the firepower of a 1911?
Yes. Yes, the round, if you have those scary grips on it with the Grim Reaper, that round will go five times as fast, and they'll go right through walls.
But only if it has the Grim Reaper etching in it.
Yeah.
I just want to be sure.
I learned long ago, I would never tell anybody not to get any kind of gun. If you want a gold-plated 45 with Grim Reaper grips, go for it. I mean, that's your right as an American. And who am I to say, no, I would never have that? You know, the Second Amendment, last time I checked, wasn't predicated upon what you or I would want, what you or I would even carry. So, but yet, he made it sound really bad and really scary because it was a cartel-desired firearm.
It was in 1911.
Super scary.
It was gold-plated, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to make this point also. You know, you mentioned with the Grim Reaper on it, you know, we see people putting the death head design on their firearms and all that stuff, right? And I have that pin. It's kind of cool. You know what I'm talking about from the movie?
Yep.
What's it called? Right? Right?
Punisher.
The Punisher, right. Which, by the way, was filmed in Tampa, right? Which was kind of cool, right? But the there's a train of thought. That, and I actually heard Masoud Ayoub talk about this in one of the classes I took from him a few years ago here in Georgia, in Norcross, Georgia. And he said he wouldn't advise putting those types of things on your firearms. He said, you know, imagine get to court, right? And you've used this firearm to defend your life and someone is dead. You know what a good defense attorney is going to do or a prosecutor is going to do if they're prosecuting you? Excuse me. Well, you have, I mean, look, you have the Grim Reaper on your gun. You have the death head on your gun. To which my response is, oh, give me a break. If the chute was clean, it was clean. I don't care what the gun looked like. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lee.
No, you're right. And I don't like that kind of stuff on a defensive firearm anyway. I mean, the last thing you want to see is some defense attorney raise up your gun and you have your ejection port door with kill them all, let God sort them out or some of that crap on it.
Right.
No, keep them stock. Keep them stock. Very good advice. Another good PSA all in the same show.
Well, you know, if that's what you want to put on it, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead. Because I will tell you this, that if the chute is clean, the chute is clean. If it's a good chute, as we refer to it, it's a good chute. Whatever's etched on the gun isn't going to make a difference. However, where you run into problem, Lee, is like you just said, you get to get a prosecutor out there like a Fannie Willis. Imagine having a prosecutor like Fannie Willis coming after you. And what they're going to say and what they're going to do and what it can do to a jury pool in an area where you happen to be. So that's why, yeah, in reality, a good shoot is a good shoot regardless. But
yeah, but then there's also the civil aspect, too.
Do you want to open yourself up to that? Correct. Now it becomes the civil stuff, and now you've got an attorney that's suing you that's going to bring all this nonsense up. I don't do that stuff with my guns. I never have. But like you just said, if you want to go get a gold-plated 1911, have at it. You have the right to do that. And so does a Democrat, too, by the way. I mean, I do want to make that point as well. Lots of Democrats own guns. I don't know if they saw what they saw on CBS Face the Nation. I think maybe some of their perspectives might have changed. They might have been scared away from some of the guns that they saw. But I think what's the biggest takeaway?
Well, I heard one mention Dettelbach talking about FFLs, gun dealers, federally licensed firearm dealers. And he said at one point, we depend on our FFLs, on our license, as our basically their first line of defense. And
okay, stop. Hold on to that thought, because here comes the music. We're going to take a break. When we come back with Lee, I want to go to the back to the FFL and what Dettelbach said. I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with this regarding his commentary on FFLs, because, well, he doesn't have a real good relationship with federal firearms license dealers right now, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll dig a little bit deeper into that with Lee, the gun writer, Williams, who knows more in 5 minutes than Dettelbach knows in his entire lifetime about guns. We'll be right back.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, back to the show indeed. Got an interesting twist coming in here in this segment. Lee, the gun writer, Williams, welcome back. I think Greg just notified you, but I took a phone call from AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News during the break. And AWR Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen, if you were listening to the Monster Cast on Sunday, you know that AWR was in Louisiana today, standing behind the governor, with the governor, when constitutional carry was signed, and he joins us right now. AWR Hawkins in Louisiana. How are you, my friend? Welcome in.
I'm good. Good to be with you.
So what? Tell us what you saw. It had to be fun.
Well, I mean, the governor was excited, Governor Landry. And he, I like how he frames this. He's been very consistent. This is part of his. He came into office pledging to fight crime, and he sees constitutional carry as part of fighting crime. And he spoke at length about how this is particularly good for women, that he's talked to women who are scared to get out of their car in the dark area to walk into this building, be at a mall or whatever. And he's like, you know, this levels the playing field for them, that they can defend their lives now and their dignity. And, you know, he's just a great guy. I've known him for a long time, but he's one of those guys, everything he promised when he ran for office, everything will be done. And he's done this super quick, and it's great to see it.
Now, do you know, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm going to guess it's effective immediately upon signature. Is it law in Louisiana now, or is there a date?
I don't know. I was going to text the author of the legislation tonight and ask him that. Okay. It was crazy in that room today. It was unbelievable how many people were in the room. So when he was done and everyone started moving around, it was not a lot of time for small talk.
I got to ask, because I know some listeners who were paying attention on Sunday. Did you get a pen or did you go to Waffle House?
I got a pen.
Oh, that's fantastic. Lee, the gun writer, Williams, you want to jump in? Any questions? Because Louisiana becomes the 28th state, and AWR was there and is reporting from Louisiana. Lee, you want to jump in real quick?
That's outstanding news. I've heard the Internet saying it's going to take effect July 4th, which would be kind of cool. I don't know if that's true or not. I know he did that in record time. Wasn't it like 50-something days? He got that through the legislature and signed into law. That's just tremendous.
Yeah, AWR, yeah, I mean, that sailed through quickly, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he campaigned on it. He and I was I hog hunt in Alexandria and Natchitoches, Louisiana, quite a bit. And I'll visit with him. And I visited with him when he was attorney general. And he made clear to me then that if I get to the governor's office, constitutional carry is going to happen. That's it. It's just going to. And so he's been talking about this for a long time. And the great news, I could tell you, I just spoke to my contact in the South Dakota House, and the South Dakota House has passed a conference report, and it goes before the Senate tomorrow. And if the Senate passes the conference report on Thursday, the governor will sign constitutional carry there. That'll be the 29th state.
See, okay, that's big news. That state, that hadn't even come up in our conversation. So, you know, we've been looking at South Carolina possibly being next, and that appears to have been put on hold. South Carolina, you got some work to do. AWR, let me thank you for calling in right now, and obviously we'll be talking with you about this at great length on the Sunday MonsterCast. Thank you for being there. Thank you for giving us this information. The man on the street, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. You can read his article at Breitbart. It's up right now, and there are some great pictures of AWR Hawkins with the author of the bill and Governor Landry. Great work, AWR. Thanks, brother. All right, he's gone. Okay, Lee, the gun writer Williams, let's go back to you. Wow, I mean, what a great call to get before we close this hour out. That's fantastic news, 28. And to hear that about Dakota, oh, man, that's good to know, too.
Yeah, that's incredibly cool breaking news. I mean, we're going to get there. There's 22 left. We have to keep pounding away. I hope South Carolina can get their ducks in a row sometime soon. I know being in Florida, who am I to talk? I mean, we struggled with it for a decade. But, you know, something is better than nothing is what we found out.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where people are still, you know, crying and whining about the open carry aspect. I get that. I'm one of them. I would love to have seen open carry as a part of that as well. But what are you going to do? Say, no, we don't want permitless carry until we can get that? You take what you can get, ladies and gentlemen. It's the way the game is played. It's politics. And while we shouldn't have to, Lee, I think you'll agree that what were we going to do? Walk away from it because it wasn't full constitutional carry? And I mean, look, Florida did it and others get fast-tracked. Georgia did it at that fast-track, Florida. And lo and behold, yeah, now apparently we're looking at South Dakota as well. And, wow.
Well, you know, Noam will sign it. She's a good conservative in a very conservative state.
Yeah, let me just let me take a look at this real quick because we have a list of the states. South Dakota already has it, so I guess it was. Well, I don't know what he was talking about there on South Dakota and North Dakota. We'll have to get some more information from him on that because both of them are listed here. So I'm not sure what he was referring to. We won't do this live. We'll talk with AWR after the program today and get some more information. I don't want to give you misleading information, but South Dakota and North Dakota, I believe, are already constitutional carry, Lee. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I want to look into that. He may have been referring to something else and said that, but we'll get the answer for you, ladies and gentlemen. Regardless, or irregardless, either one work, according to liberal dictionaries, we will be talking with AWR Hawkins about this coming up on the Sunday MonsterCast. So, Lee, quickly, with the last 2 minutes that we have, let's go back to the FFL and Duddle, you know, Duddle Boob's relationship with those folks.
Well, you know, he calls them his ATS first line of defense in terms of trying to police straw purchases. Yet he is shutting them down left and right like it's cool. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of FFLs were put out of business last year or, you know, scared into voluntarily surrendering their FFL just merely for the most minor of paperwork errors. So, yeah, I mean, they're no longer the first line of defense. Biden believes the fewer gun dealers means fewer guns. So they are and have been at war with the federal firearms licensees since Biden took office. We've covered the hell out of it.
Lee, I found it interesting because he failed to mention that it was the ATF using gun dealers in Phoenix to illegally ship weapons to Mexico, to the very cartels that he was talking about on CBS's Face the Nation. And interestingly, or not, right, what's-her-face, clown face over there at CBS, didn't even think to ask him that question. Wasn't it the ATF that was walking guns across the Mexican border to these very cartels that are buying these gold-plated 1911s? She wouldn't have said 1911 because she didn't know what that was.
Ignorance. Pretty gold gun is what she would have said.
The gold cartel drug gun, right? Oh,
yeah.
Good heavens. Lee, the gun writer Williams, thank you, man, for everything that you do. Ladies and gentlemen, you can read everything Lee, the gun writer Williams, writes over at thegunwriter.substack.com. You can find him at armedamericannews.com or .org. And he is, of course, the reporter for, the investigative reporter for, the Second Amendment Foundation. Lee, the gun writer Williams, thank you so much for everything that you do and for joining us today on the program. We appreciate it. Coming up in the next hour, John Gibbon from Arms List will be here. And we'll talk about, we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about because we can. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues at 6 minutes after the hour. Relax a little bit, chill out, and we'll see you on the flip side of the break right after this.
Just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.